The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you? Have you missed us?
Have I missed you? I told you how. I feel like I have separation anxiety when I don't get to talk to you.
Well, I can tell you that from all of our listeners who I bump into or who I happen to meet, every single one of them says, Rolene Marks, absolutely love it. They sit in their cars, don't get out the cars until they've heard the Israel Report, because it's really a way that they get relevant, up-to-date news, and they get it with all the right attitude. So,
well, I'm going to just send the hugest hug to all of our listeners out there and some kisses.
Right, and there you got it from Rolene Marks. Rolene, let's talk about UNESCO. Gosh, lots happening there. New head of UNESCO, America pulling out. What is Israel going to do? Just tell us where we're at.
Well, I tell you, Howard, people do listen to us, because last week we were chatting about the fact that, you know, things will quieten down, mostly for the diaspora jury, during the Chagim. As you know, in Israel, we only really have one day. So as soon as Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah came out on Thursday, because we celebrate everything together, you get the bonus deal here in Israel. It was just like breaking news after breaking news after breaking news, and I couldn't get hold of you. I was on spiel, because Howard dying to tell you what was going on. So in an absolute astounding move, because we discussed this last week, and we said, yeah, right, will UNESCO vote in a Jewish director general? And not only were two anti-Israel resolutions taken off the table, or rather delayed, but she was voted in with one vote over her Qatari competition, who was known to be a raging anti-Semite, having supported book fairs where anti-Semitic books were on display and were touted, and has been known for his anti-Semitic rhetoric. But we have now the former French culture minister, Audrey Azoulay, who is now the director general of UNESCO. And I think everybody who listens to the show, just at the very mention of the word UNESCO, the blood pressure goes up, and you know, everybody gets a little bit angry. And justifiably so. But following that that America's pulling out.
Before we go there, the one thing that perplexes me, just talking about the election of the new head, is if she, a Jewish person, was able to be voted as head of UNESCO, why is it that UNESCO has continually voted against Israel and its links, Jewish links to Jerusalem and the Old City? Because this shows that it is possible for UNESCO to go in either direction.
Well, I think what is very interesting is that the former Director General, Irina Bokova, actually had very, very good ties with Israeli officials and Jewish groups. And I think the problem within UNESCO are the blocks that form. We've got the Arab bloc, the African bloc, and this is
what's about how it's structured, and this structure is perhaps a bit different to the structure that would vote on specific items.
Well, exactly. And I think there was a lot of lobbying efforts from the Israelis, not to mention perhaps some of the voters may have taken cognizance of the fact that America said, you know, if this kind of action continues, we're going to pull out, which they have announced that they intend to do. And America pulling out and Israel pulling out, because Netanyahu also, on the recommendation of his ambassador to UNESCO, also said that Israel's going to pull out because of flagrant anti-Semitism, and along with that comes a lot of budget. And I also think that seeing the consequences of these ridiculous votes, perhaps there is a change in the air where many of the voting members have realized, you know what, hang on, this is just getting ridiculous now, and it is taking away from our mandate that we are here to do. It is becoming heavily politicized, it is becoming extremely biased, and we are maligning a minority group, and you know what, maybe it's time that we get our acts together. At least I hope so. However, if America does pull out, and this would only come into effect in December 2018, I'm not sure when an Israel pull out would come into effect, and this is what Netanyahu has said he intends to do. My concern, and I have to throw in a gigantic spanner here, is how does it affect the work of many Israeli individuals and organizations? I'm a member of one myself, who do have consultative status or have lobbying power within UNESCO or do phenomenal work. How does that impact our work? And also, do we now create an environment, if we pull out, where these blocs are able to vote willy-nilly without any kind of policeman, so to speak, or without anybody to challenge the resolutions that are tabled?
Do you think that this was discussed between Israel and the United States? In other words, that perhaps America pulls out of UNESCO in order to discredit it, but Israel remains in order to be on the inside and keep an eye as to what's going on?
That's a very, very good question, and I'd love to know the answer to that. But as soon as America made their announcement, Netanyahu followed suit within a matter of hours, saying his intention is to pull Israel out as well and to not pay the dues, the annual fees that we have to pay UNESCO. I do know that we have held back some of our annual dues because of the flagrant bias that is shown against Israel.
But at this stage, has Israel pulled out, or is it still there with it being a part of a discussion?
We have announced that our intention is to pull out.
Right.
You know what this means, and I think that a lot of these issues have to be taken into account. What happens to lobbying bodies within UNESCO? What happens to individuals? There is a lot of work that medical professionals do to lobby for women and children. I know that myself, I belong to WHEATSO. We do incredible work at the United Nations. Will this impact on our work? You know, it remains to be seen. I mean, we also have to enter into discussion whether or not Israel pulling out has an effect on the work that we do, as it would have on many other organizations who enjoy consultative status. And it's very important that we are there, we Jewish women and our colleagues across the country, that we are there, that when issues of BDS come up, we are there to lobby. When resolutions come up, we are there to make sure that the voice of Israel and the Jewish people, and in some cases specific to the organization I belong to, specifically Jewish women and children, that our voices are heard.
Interesting. An unsigned WhatsApp saying, with the United States pulling out, UNESCO loses 28% of its budget. That's significant.
It's hugely significant, and Azoulay has appealed to both the United States and Israel, saying, please reconsider these decisions. And I don't think that it is just based economically, but I think that
credibility
she's probably
thing.
Also, politically, she's probably also concerned that for her to have a smooth tenure, for the body to accomplish the work that it's mandated to do, that you know, that they remain. However, Jewish groups have applauded Trump's decision to pull America from UNESCO, saying that it's very, very important that we take a stand against this. And Ronald Lauder, who's the president of the World Jewish Congress, says, I urge UNESCO to focus on its core mandate rather than addressing political matters that fall outside the organization's purview, and decisions that rewrite history and call into question deep-rooted Jewish ties to our holy sites in Jerusalem and elsewhere have no place at UNESCO, and it's our hope that the organization will carry out much-needed reforms. Azoulay herself has said that she says, at this time of crisis, we need more than ever to work on the UNESCO organization and to support and strengthen the organizations and to make changes, not to leave it. So it will be very interesting to watch this one, how it
I still
proceeds.
Find it perplexing, I must tell you. I found the timing perplexing, that they would have pulled out right at this moment when there's a possible change for the good. I'd like to hear from our listeners on 34519 or 062-148-2374. Do you think that Israel should follow through with Netanyahu's announcement that they are pulling out of UNESCO, or should they stay in to be on the inside? I can tell you that I don't have the answer, and I don't really know what I feel. I guess I'm tending towards saying let's give her a chance to see if she can make good, but certainly they would know more than I would if that is possible or not. I'd love to hear from our listeners on this. Can you tell us all we need to
know? Can I throw another spanner? Because I'm full of spanners today. I don't have shoes on, but I do have my spanners ready.
Mm-hmm.
We know from the resolutions that are tabled that the Palestinians have moved the battlefield away from military war. They know they're never going to succeed there, to diplomatic warfare. Mm, mm. And one of the battlefields that they have chosen specifically is the United Nations and its various agencies that fall within its remit. So if Israel and the U.S. pulls out, does this hand those factions within the Palestinian leadership a significant diplomatic victory? So I'm with you, Howard. I want to hear from our listeners. I'm very curious as to what people think.
Right. And whilst they let us know, please tell us all we need to know about the Fatah and Hamas reconciliation deal.
Yeah. So again, more breaking news. I tell you, I was running around like a demented chicken, Howard, because I couldn't talk to you.
Oh, that was even then, right.
That's what happens. Now you know. So a document was leaked to the press. Now, me being the cynic that I am, and perhaps it's a journalistic experience, I think that this was not leaked by mistake. This was on purpose, and this document details their 6 points. And, the language is very much, it's very, very parva. Things like, we need to complete procedures to enable the National Reconciliation Government to exercise its functions in the West Bank. We need to form a legal and administrative committee, and we need to pay government salaries, and we need to take over the crossings, and leaders of official security services operating in the state of Palestine will go to the Gaza Strip to discuss ways and mechanisms for rebuilding the security services. This point is very significant because nowhere in this document and in this point does it address what will happen to Hamas's military wing. And Israel have said for there to be any kind of peace deal, we need a demilitarized Palestinian state, not to mention mutual recognition as well. They've also said that a meeting will be held in Cairo during the first week of December 2017 to assess any progress, and another meeting in November for all factions that signed what they are calling the Palestinian National Accord that was signed on May the 4th, 2011, and to discuss all reconciliation items mentioned in the agreement. So I'm still very cynical with this. I don't think that this unity government, and again, I'd love to hear from listeners on this point as well, will hold water. I think that there are a lot of issues that haven't been discussed, and I think that the inevitable power play is going to come into effect here. What does concern me is where Israel is going to fit into this, and if they will be in their attempt to show strength or to show power, we will see any kind of attacks on Israel. We have seen the firing of rockets over the last few days, but those have been, the responsibility for those have been claimed by Daesh, by the, by ISIS.
Hold on, Rolene.
Yes.
ISIS is claiming responsibility for every, I lost my keys this morning. I get a note from ISIS. It was them. They're claiming responsibility for everything. Spill your coffee, it's ISIS. Come on. Seriously, was this really ISIS?
Well, I think only those in the upper echelons of the military will know that for a fact. But this is, what has been released. And I'm with you. I think that they are they are losing ground. We've seen it in Rakhine province where they are losing major ground and control there, and they're losing relevance. And I think that at any given opportunity, they are going to claim responsibility for something. Unfortunately, I really hope we don't go into a situation where it becomes a case of the terror organization who cried wolf.
And, yeah, well, because we do know what happens when you cry wolf. Ultimately, the wolf still comes. So it's no joke as well. At all. Jenny's saying UNESCO, Israel should pull out. The new chick is super left wing and will serve to delegitimize the history of the Jews further.
The new chick, I love that.
The new chick is super left wing. That's from Jenny. Lots of other SMSs and WhatsApps. I do see them. I just want to keep on the conversation that we're having. We'll get to the conversation about Weinstein, about Cape Town. We'll continue that a little bit later. But before that, Rolene, please can we talk about this 31-year-old without all of his permanent teeth? He's still got some of his milk teeth. He is now the new, do we say Chancellor of Austria? It makes me a little uncomfortable.
He is the new Chancellor of Austria.
All right, he's the new Chancellor of Austria. He is 31 years old. He looks like he's 17. The guy does not have an ounce of fat. His body fat percentage is embarrassingly low. And he is the new Chancellor of Austria. He's also super right wing, like that new chick is super left wing. Tell us about, are we concerned about this?
We're very concerned about this, and I tell you why. First of all, he's 31 years old, and no offense to millennials out there, but to run a country, you need a fair degree of experience and life skills, life experience. I'm very concerned at this. Not to mention that he's fresh out of the neo-Nazi youth.
which is only but a slight concern, given Austria's history in this regard, yeah.
Yeah, given Austria's history in this regard, it's highly, highly concerning. So Sebastian Kurz, who is now, it says, you know, Europe's youngest leader, I think the world's youngest leader ever. And, yeah, he is the leader of the People's Party, and not since 20 years ago have we seen, and 20 years ago we saw the voting in of also a neo-Nazi far-right movement in Austria, began to enjoy pariah state, status. So he got, there was no clear majority in this government, but as the leader of the winning party, which had 31.4% of the vote, the People's Party won, followed by the right-wing Freedom Party, which came in second. So Austria follows, is the next country to follow the alarming trend, which is the move to the right. And, people voted on the anti-immigration promises.
I was just going to say, I think we do as Jews need to be aware that it's less about the Jewish, about Jews and much more about the immigration issue in Europe at the moment. And as Europe moves right, the chances are that the reason it's moving right is because of the immigration issue.
Well, can I just tell you what his nickname is?
Oi, I'm scared.
Wunderwurzi.
No. You see, you can't even have any false teeth to be able to say it. That's why he's 31. Say that again.
He's nicknamed Wunderwurzi. Well, I don't know what a Wurzi is, but I would imagine some kind of wonder child or wonder Nazi or something like that. And he's expected to form a coalition with his anti-immigration Freedom Party leader, Hans Christian Strache. I mean, just, you know.
Is that Hans Christian Andersen? Yeah.
It's very frightening that we are seeing today the normalization of the far right in Europe.
Indeed.
And this is less than a century after the Holocaust. It's very, very frightening to me. And we've also heard again from Ronald Lord, who's the president of the World Jewish Congress, saying that it's very, very distressing that such a platform should receive more than a quarter of the vote.
Indeed. It's, unfortunately, Rolene, we are way over time. Hilton is gesticulating madly. Erica sent a message, but perhaps we can Oh, that's very interesting. Jenny's saying Wunderwutzi translates to he who walks on water. Where have we heard that before? Eric asking the question, Rolene, and maybe you can address this tomorrow. Are there advantages for Israel in the PA Hamas unity agreement? We're going to have to leave that, Eric, unfortunately, until tomorrow. But please do tune in then for the Israel report
this
with Rolene.
This chick who does the Israel report will go to
this chick, right?
Jenny, I love you.
All right. The time is 5:32. That's Rolene Marks. That was the Israel Report. Thanks, Rolene.